Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We are now March 2010. This is the first day of March. I don't know what the weather's like in your area, but here we're seeing some thawing, and we can actually see the streets. Went out to the woods tonight. 5 miles in those woods we had gone through. Listen, it was tough going through the snow, probably some places about a foot and a half deep, but we made it. Here we are tonight. We're going to do a new topic this week. And let me tell you something, that there's a reason why it's so absolutely pertinent that we do it. And that is, millions are being influenced by what is considered the Mayan prophecies, the 2012ers, the movie that's out on 2012. So many things. And listen, millions are engaged in looking at the prophecies, considering what's going on. And I think it's vital that we take a look, because if we engage the spirituality of the Mayans, question is, do we really know what that spirituality is, what it's like? And I want to ask you tonight, if you really researched it, the topics, and literally the topic for the week is warning to Mayan researchers and 2012ers, and then dash, they're waiting for you. Monday night, the ancient or real Mayans in bloodshed. I don't think you would have wanted to live there. Tuesday night, we're going to deal with PK Man and seeking the powers of the ancient Mayans. Are their gods still there? Wednesday night, Mayans, drugs, and the door to the gods. Small g, of course. A picture of the end of days. And Friday night, Mayans, well, they disappeared. Where did they go? And did God himself shut the door on the bloodshed among the Mayans and the temple? We'll take a look into it tonight. We're going to look into, well, some of the news we've got going on right now. Over the weekend, we've had a fast and furious weekend with so many things going on. Let me tell you about, counseling and dealing with underground satanic ritual abuse. It is just a constant, ongoing thing. Want to say thank you to many of you that have emailed in, some requesting prayer and help. I know last night, as we talked with Patrick Huron, all the way from Ireland, we were able to, share, his views on the Nephilim and the pyramid and the New Jerusalem. Interesting materials. We'll have him back on next Sunday night. This week, as we get the opportunity, 1 hour per night, 4 nights, I believe it's providential. I believe that there is a supernatural engagement. So welcome to all those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to those who are seekers and look. Listen, you're looking, you're searching. Some that do the recon on the show, fine, that's great. Glad you're doing it. We've got a brand new series that you will be interested in. If you're brand new to me, my name is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net. on the web. We're going to leave up there for now the free offer of the course, over 20 hours of training MP3s. We're also going to begin to unleash the new series. I think the new series is going to be the most important. I'm going to mention it. I may even do a series or bring it all out here in a couple of weeks as a four-night topic. The series is called How to Detect Satanic Ritual Warfare and Placed Infiltration. Now, if you go to the ShatterTheDarkness.net site, you're going to see where you can click on. We've done a 40-minute introduction, and we're also, we've already put up the first, the first session. I think we're going to have 8, 9, maybe 10 altogether. Now, this would have been one of the regular courses, but, we want it out there for everybody. The introduction will give you a lot of information. We say at the end of the notes in the introduction these words, quote, targeted sending of dark powers, as exampled in Revelation 16, are massively underestimated and grossly neglected. Now, in part one, the title, How Do You Detect If Satanic Rituals Are Being Done in Your Area? Well, I give 8 indicators of that possibility. And Listen, if you get a chance and if you're interested, if you are someone who cares about what's going on right now, if you're a prayer warrior, if you are, you know, realizing that there is literally darkness in the air, the sense of catastrophe coming, then I would encourage you to become a part of that series. Let me tell you what, I will go over some of the other things because law enforcement, those of you in law enforcement will, and I'm going to do a special one for U.S. military also. But part two, the title is Search and Destroy and a redemptive approach to engaging covens and dark rituals in your area. Part three, tracking the secret power of lawlessness. Part four, unleashing the authority of Christ in multiple directions and why that's needed. Part five is prayer power and the Holy Spirit's help for law enforcement and their approach to satanic crimes. Part six is out of the darkness and into the light, battling the prince of darkness and bringing lives to Christ in the context. And I mentioned this in the introduction. I hope you'll listen to the introduction of that. If there really are 4.5 million diagnosed cases, some believe 10 million, let's just say 2 million. 2 million cases of satanic ritual abuse in the last 30-some years. When you've dealt with and counseled with, you're going to realize that an individual victim between the ages of, birth and 13 years old may have gone through 1,000 rituals, literally, over all those years. They may have heard the languages, felt the powers, have had powers transferred onto them. They have heard the screeching of animals, the pain and torture of individuals. They know what it is to be on the slab. They know what it is on one of those dark, unholy nights. They know the secrecy. They know the terror of all of it. And they've been through, as an individual, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and we can estimate well over 1,000 by the age of 13. Now multiply that by 2 million, at the very least, 2 million different victims. We are now speaking about millions of satanic rituals that have been going on in an unprecedented fashion from the 50s, growing in the 60s, vastly duplicated in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and all the way to right now. So as Father Shefton says that in his book, Is Satanism Real?, he asks whether or not we realize, you know, how broad the underground really is. He estimates 100,000 covens back in the 90s. And so I'm going to tell you that through that series, the tip of the iceberg of the information you hear from me and others, well, that's what it is, the tip of the iceberg. That part of what we've engaged and seen and have verified, and we're bringing that out to you. But that's only the tip. So in the series on satanic rituals and the weaponization of satanic powers, God has even given us an insight into the future mother of all rituals. And the only reason Armageddon will actually occur is because of what occurs in Revelation 16. So take a look at the outline. We will be putting up one or two of those each week, and there's a couple up already, and I hope it's helpful. Now, what I'm going to do for military, in all that we've engaged over the years, I'm going to put up one that deals specifically there. I might even do one for politics and politicians and government. Since military and politicians, those are the two primary focuses concerning ritually summoned and sent demonic presence to bring influence. Tonight, you're listening to Russ Dizdar here, and we're going to delve into, well, a warning to all those who are researching the Mayan temples and the prophecies and engaging what they think is a sedate and passive spirituality. But we're going to bring some material to you tonight that's going to, I think, blow some minds. I really do. It's unbelievable when you begin to look at the factors, when the real factors are brought in concerning well, the kinds of rituals, the kinds of things that have been done. And I think that we need to be clear about what those rituals were all about, and whether we would have wanted to live there in that day, whether you would have wanted to be captured in that day. But before we get there, as always, let me give you a few other announcements that are coming up. Last night we had on Patrick Huron. He's the author of the book, The Nephilim of the Pyramid and of the Apocalypse. And he's also written a book on the Antichrist. And you'll find links on our show to that. We'll have him on next Sunday night for 2 hours. About 2 hours again. We have three conferences coming up, and new materials have been added to some of the conference. The Michigan one is just about 26 days away. It's a one-day event. And take a look. I'll be doing hours and hours of teaching up there. We'll encourage you to come to, St. Louis, April 9th and 10th. And there's a new website that we have a link to. They put up a website now, how to register and all the different topics coming up. And then the big conference in Nashville, the 23rd, 24th. So those conferences are very similar to what we do here, but you'll get a concentrated amount of information, materials. You'll be impacted. You'll hear at the St. Louis conference and at the Nashville conference, there are multiple speakers. At the Michigan one, I'll be doing all of it up there. So we hope that you can come to those and be a part. I already got emails from individuals telling me that they will be there. Tonight after this show, I have been invited by Doc, again, Freedom Radio, to be on with him. So I want to invite you. He's going to bring up Revelation chapter 16, and we're going to delve into that future mother of all rituals. Again, what New Agers call a planetary wave of spiritual power, a release. They're sensing it. They're picking up on what's to come, but they have no idea of what it really is. So we're going to discuss that tonight on a live show that I've been invited to do later tonight. Again, check out the website, Shatter the Darkness. You'll find all kinds of hundreds of free MP3s. If you're a new believer, there's discipleship material. If you want daily devotions, if you want other things, many things there. And we appreciate you being with us on this show tonight, Monday night, March 1st. It's amazing to me that it's March 1st because there's so much snow still, even though we have a pretty good meltdown going on right now. And it looks like in our area we'll have some more. But there's been snow since November. And, February, we have had more snow than ever in history in this area. A lot of it, I don't complain. I like the snow. I like all of it. And thank God for the seasons. Regardless, I still got up into the woods today and did part of my, taking care of the body, enjoying the outside, and glad to be back here tonight. We've got some vital information. And the reason I feel led, now listen, if you don't know me, please understand that, yes, I have a spiritual presence in my life that motivates me, that guides me and directs me and leads me and compels me. He's the Spirit of God. As a believer in Christ, we're given the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. Those who are psychics and, those who are into deeper and darker stuff, you understand the work of finite spirits. Please understand there is what is called the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, uncreated, eternal, infinite in knowledge and power and presence. And so tonight I am compelled by the Spirit of God on this subject. And listen, it's not about who's right and who's wrong. That's not what I'm dealing with here. It's about, ultimately, reality, the spiritual battle that's going on, the reality of a dark side, that's why there's that ominous feeling. That's why there's that, I can feel it in the air, the chaos that's coming and all that's coming down against us. So please understand, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with what I believe is the most incredible supernatural deception in human history. And with that comes, as always, the greatest of all destruction. And that's part of what we need to do in sharing what's going on. Now, I have read books and books now on the Mayans. I have seen videos done by those who are absolutely pro-Mayan and pro-Mayan temples and pro-Mayan spirituality and pro-Mayan prophecies and totally committed to the concepts of the 2012. Is it going to be a massive catastrophe in a new age? Is it going to be the end of civilization? The majority of those speaking now are saying, well, it's going to be some kind of cleansing, some kind of massive, it will seem to us to be a cleansing, yes. A catastrophe, yes. It may wipe out millions of people. It may bring massive devastations. I mean, I went and saw the movie 2012, and it's all about the absolute. Listen, I watched that movie, and I don't think they mentioned God even one time in the movie. It's very interesting to me how they portrayed the end of human civilization, how they demonstrated the coming catastrophe as if it was simply the Earth or Mother or Gaia, you know, cleansing itself of the corruption of humanity only to begin again. Whitney Strieber, in his book dealing with 2012, it's the same kind of concept of the alien visitation, destruction of humanity, and eventual new beginning. The movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage and the alien visitation, the end of human civilization, and this alien presence that removes some humans and plants them on another planet to seed the human race somewhere else. So there's a lot of this concept going around, a lot of it being discussed. I'll say that not just millions, but around the world now, billions feel in the air catastrophe, the ominous sense coming down. And I believe that's true in India. I believe that's true in China. I believe that's true in Russia. Absolutely across Europe, all through the United States, around the world. And I do agree when I look at biblical prophetic revelation. The most massive, accurate, detailed future history is found in this massive revelation of Scripture. In the Old Testament and specifically in the New, God has given us clear insight of what mankind will be doing, what the dark presence and the agenda and the biggest, most catastrophic, chaotic, destructive events in all of history will be like. And it also tells us what God's going to do about a second coming, about a millennia, a chillism, a 1,000-year reign, about a real new age of the kingdom of God, of peace, where there's no war, no rape, no crime, where politicians can't get away with anything, where justice from the infinite Prince of Peace will roll out. And I don't know if you've studied those. I don't know if you've looked at the coming glorification, the concept of the genetics of the coming eternal race. I'm not talking about the Atlanteans, the Lumerians. I'm not talking about the Hyperboleans. I'm not talking about star children and indigo children. I'm talking about what most New Agers don't know. And I would even say a lot of believers don't know deeply. On an atomic level, in the end, all those who have received the redemption, they've taken hold of the gift of God. Well, in that gift, again, whether you believe or not, at least understand the concept that it's not reincarnation, it's not rebirth, it's not something like that at all. It is the most incredible, I mean, it's literally shocking in some ways, but it is where mortal humanity, in the twinkling of an eye, on an atomic level, by a spiritual power, talk about a spiritual wave, the exertion of the power of God in the resurrection of Christ is the same power, the dunamis, that will be exerted in what is called the first resurrection or the glorification. Now, you can check it out. Do some research, 1 Corinthians 15. In the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, Greek word atomic, the mortal will put on immortality. And this is why I use the phrase many times, indestructible immortality. And listen, if you want to know about how to live forever and live indestructibly, if I can say it that way, know God and see God face to face, I tell you what, you need to do the research here. So many of you do research and look at concepts spiritually, and my concern for many, even those that are traveling down to the Mayan temples, I will bring out tomorrow night at the survivetothrive.net radio show time at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. I'm going to deal with PK Man. This is the Psi Man. This is where their kinetic powers and Psi powers. And we're going to look at Ted Owens. We're going to look at his visitation at the Mayan temples in his own words as he's guided in his belief by an alien presence, as he seeks permission of the Mayan gods to be there and to acquire knowledge. We'll talk about on Wednesday how some are going down there using drugs to open themselves up so that they can hear and engage the spirit gods down there. The reason why there is massive warning concerning, well, delving into ancient temple or gods in the small g sense, most likely even the reign of Nephilim. Vitally important to realize there's a massive difference today in comparison to what was there years ago. What was there years ago was it was like a factory at full bloom. It was a civilization connected eventually to the Aztecs in the region there that was given over, and I'm going to say again, and I'll go over this, given over to Nephilim presence, to deep, dark territorial presence, to probably the manifestation of hundreds of demonic entities, temples that were being built, designed not just by human, minds and architectural, dreams, but came literally out of spiritual inspiration. The gods of that day gave inspiration and gave guidance and gave dictation. The prophecies, the practices, the society, the law, all of this massively guided spiritually. And I'm going to say again, I don't know if you'd ever want to live back then. I don't know if you'd want to be captured in wartime by the warriors back then. Now, I'm going to read you something here in about 2-3 minutes by Dr. Herman Smith. In dealing with the archaeological digs, listen, archaeology tells us a lot. There's people now, even guides, when you go down to the Mayan temples, where there'll be some guides that'll try to dissuade you and get you to believe that there probably was no human sacrifice. But the archaeologists, those who've looked at, remains and temples and dig sites, well, they speak for themselves. So get ready tonight to hear about the ancient days of the Mayans. And here's what I'm going to tell you how it is concerning the spirits or the gods behind. Though everything was utterly shut down and covered over, and there's a reason why. And I'm going to bring that out on Friday evening. There's a reason why God shuts the gateways and the doorways that open so broadly that bring spiritual deception, control, and lead humanity to transmutation and literally consume humanity to the point that it doesn't even matter any longer. And eventually, because of the bloodshed, now listen, those who are biblically inclined, anybody can go back and study in the book of 2 Kings, chapters 21, 20, 22, all those. You're going to find there where God brings a word of judgment because innocent blood has been shed from one side of the nation to the other. Nobody was doing anything about it. It was actually the leaders that had opened the doors to the starry host, to the gods and goddesses, to Moloch and many others. Even Manasseh, guided spiritually. Let me ask you a question. Would you have wanted the spirituality of that day? Would you have wanted to live during the days when the demon god Moloch actually reigned in a manifest sense, guiding minds and hearts and parents to be convinced to bring their children and literally fry them in a red hot ritual pan in sacrifice to the demon god Moloch? I don't think that you would have really wanted to live there. And I want to tell you again that it's amazing. If you can look back and say, wow, look how many of the Germans were taken over by Nazi ideology. Look at the practices. Look where it guided. If you don't understand that it was all spiritually imposed, inspired, that the demonic revelation became political ideology and military vision. And the practices, the ultimate end of the practices, began with spirit-guided revelation data. That's why we had such an incredible and horrific sacrifice of humanity. You've got to understand, if you go back to the Mayans and the days in which thousands were being sacrificed. Listen, I read one Italian archaeologist and he estimates between 50 and 70,000 humans were sacrificed in the last few years of the Mayan civilization before, some call it, its fall, its disappearance. And I'm going to tell you Friday that it involves judgment. God has a right to do this, to stop. Now, you're going to see why when I read what, Dr. Herman Smith, I'm going to quote them all the way through. And you can get this on the web. I'll put up a link tomorrow to where you can read this yourself. You can download it yourself, take a look at it and see what you think. Realize that, listen, if you're a believer living there among the old temples, you've got to understand the spiritual warfare that's going on. The gods and goddesses, the spirits, and even if there were Nephilim there that guided the civilization, even when it all ended and the temples were covered and the sacrificial places were covered and things were stopped and the gateways to the gods and goddesses, small g, had been shut down. Does that mean they died? No. Is it possible that they are summoning? Is there a satanic synchronicity, a spirit-guided synchronicity to draw researchers there, to open them up to communication, to step by step by step lead them to reopen old doors? That's how it works. I'm going to quote to you right now. It's a long article, so I'm going to quote a lot of it to you. Quoting where it says, Mayan human sacrifice, say it isn't so. Warfare among the Maya was considerably different from modern combat where opposing forces attempted to annihilate their enemies entirely on the field of battle. First of all, the Maya world was divided into politics or polises, city-states that would at times be at peace with each other or under different circumstances fight with each other. The aim of this rather limited warfare was to take prisoners. Now listen, the aim of this was to take prisoners. Low-status captives generally wound up as slaves to their captor. But high-status captives were scheduled for ritual sacrifice. The deliberate taking of human life was deemed necessary to sanctify certain ritual occasions. Such as the ascendancy to the throne by a new ruler or the dedication of a new building. Naturally, the capture of a rival ruler was highly prized, as the sacrifice of the unfortunate individual lent extra importance to the occasion. The usual method of such sacrifice was decapitation in a public ceremony. Aside from decapitation, the favored method back in those times, listen, post-classic times, was a trick acquired from the Mexican cultures to the north. The removal of the heart. The removal of the heart. Boy, I have rituals confiscated from underground Satanism very similar. In the descriptions of how to arch the back of the victim, where to slice in to be able to pull out the heart, sometimes while it's still trying to beat. The article goes on, quote, "Women and children were sacrificed just as often as men. The intended victim was stripped and painted blue, being led to the courtyard or temple where the victim would be placed face up over, well, like an altar, a stone also painted blue. The arms and legs of the victim were held by specially designated priests, while a fourth, called the Nakram, would penetrate the victim's chest with a flint knife just below the left breast, reaching inside the chest cavity. This special priest would pull out the still beating heart and hand it to another priest, who would then smear the blood on the idol to which the sacrifice had been made." I'm going to continue to quote. "If the sacrifice had taken place on the top of a pyramid, the corpse would be thrown into the courtyard below, where the priests of lower rank would skin the victim, except for the hands and the feet. The skin would be worn, listen, human skin would be worn by the officiating priest, who would solemnly dance among the spectators. If the victim had been a especially brave warrior, his body might be butchered and eaten by the nobles and other spectators." You know what? I'm going to stop there for a second just to ask the question, why? When it comes to many of the books I've read, many of the videos, even YouTube videos, where there is all this positive information about my spirituality and about going down there and about the prophecies, and hasn't anybody looked into the possibility that the same demon gods are clamoring and calling and drawing in the end of days for the same kind of sacrifices that will open the same kind of doorways and bring them to manifestation once again? I've just read what an archaeologist is writing about. Now, I've read other archaeologists also. And when you read those who are doing the digs and looking at all the artifacts and the bones and the ritual, well, we'll take a look at some more of this. Let me quote again. "A bow and arrow was also used in human sacrifice. The victim was stripped, painted blue, and bound to a stake. According to a 16th century account, the foul priest in vestments went up and wounded the victims in parts of shame, whether it was a man or a woman, and drew blood, and came down and anointed the face of the idol with it. Dancers all armed with bows and arrows, began one after another to shoot at his heart. In this manner, they made his whole chest like a hedgehog of arrows. A recent discovered painting at Tikal shows a man who had been bound to a stake and disemboweled. At Chichen Itza and other places, very famous places, it was found to contain numerous skeletons of men, women, and children who were sacrificial victims. Bishop de Landa in the 16th century reported, "Into this well they have the custom of throwing men alive as a sacrifice to the gods in times of drought." And they did, and listen, and they believed that they did not die, though they never saw them again. Now listen, one last part to this. As bad as all this sounds, the Maya were amateurs when it came to human sacrifice on a massive scale. Did you hear this? I'm reading this individual who's been involved in the digs. And in his article, he sums up, and again, let me give you the name. You can Google it if you want. You can find it. It's under Dig K, and it's Dr. Herman Smith. And he's only one of many. There's, again, Italian archaeologists, others that have seen the same, showing the same, telling the same stories. At the end of this article, it's amazing. You got to listen to this. As bad as all this sounds, the Mayans were amateurs when it came to human sacrifice on a massive scale. Goes on to say, and I quote, "The Aztecs of central Mexico, many years later, once sacrificed 20,000 people in a single ceremony to commemorate the dedication of a new temple, and then they ate them," end of quote. Let me just stop there to say again, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. If you want to write to us during the show, you can do that. And that's shatterxmailsbcglobal.net. SBCglobal.net. And you can write during the show, and if you have questions, and sometimes if you put up a question concerning the show, is the questions or comments I can sometimes read right away. But I want you to hear me as I say that as you look...